Go ahead, brother. Amen.
Brother Gerald Hayes preached heaven sweet and hell hot. And I said, I don't want to go there.
Amen.
He preached it plain and straight.
Hallelujah, brother.
And I'm thankful for that day. It's changed my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Changed everything.
Amen.
It changed my father's life. He got saved.
How about that? Amen, brother.
I'm thankful for that day, this time of year, what song to sung this afternoon. It just helped me say something.
Hallelujah.
Every time this year, I remember that day.
Amen.
Out of the auditorium, the leaves were prettier. The day was more beautiful.
Amen. Amen, brother. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Amen. You ought to remember the day you got saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And rejoice in it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. We make big deals over birthdays. But that's a bigger deal than your natural birthday, amen?
Amen?
Your spiritual birthday changed your eternity, amen? Amen? Woo, boy, I enjoyed that singing tonight. How about y'all?
Amen.
Thank God mercy was enough. I'm glad it didn't take mercy plus something on my part, amen? I'd been in a flat-footed mess, brother. I'd have just been jacked up from the floor up. I'm telling you, I just didn't have nothing to offer God. Still don't have anything to offer God. Amen. And I'm still receiving mercy every single day. Amen. Now, some of us ought to shout just because we're breathing. Amen. Well, we don't deserve to be here. God ought to kicked you in hell a long time ago. But here you sit rejoicing in it. Amen. In His presence tonight. Amen. I like that part of that song Ashley and them sang. Said, I do believe He's standing right there in the aisle. I wonder sometime, Brother Freddie, and y'all might think I'm crazy, but I wonder if God pulled the curtain back and let us see. He's here. He's here. I look out them airplane windows all the time. It's something weird. If you ever fly much, you know what I'm talking about. When you look up, you get above the clouds and you look out of the window, there's these little twinkle things.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? You seen them before? I've always wondered what that was. So what do you think it is, brother? Yeah, I'll leave that to you. I just always wondered what that was. Amen. 10,000s of angels surrounding us. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Woo! Luke chapter number 7. We're going right back where Brother Fisher was on Wednesday or Thursday night. Luke chapter number 7. Haven't been able to get this out of my head since Brother Fisher brought the message about judging yourselves, that you be not judged. And we ought to do that. We ought to judge ourselves and quit judging everybody else. Amen. Wouldn't it be something if we had a judgeless church? A church that didn't judge nobody? I believe Brother Fisher hit the nail on the head when he talked about people coming in that don't look like us, don't dress like us. Hey, brother, that's Happy Valley. Now, I'm glad I pastor that crowd that don't care what somebody looks like when they come in. And I'm not worrying about us judging that crowd. Somebody, I remember the Sunday the old biker fella came in and sat down on the front row with a do-rag on his head and nobody thought nothing about it. Now, I grew up where that guy that came in, they wouldn't have heard a word the preacher said because everybody had been focused on him. Amen. I'm glad I'm not pastoring that tonight. I'm glad I'm pastoring people that love sinners. And I'm not so worried about you judging lost people when they come in here. I'm more worried about you judging one another. I wish he'd have got there and parked a little while. I'm worried about some of you parents judging other parents' parenting styles. Amen. You know what somebody else's family is? It's none of you. It's none of your business. Amen. Amen. So-and-so's wife is none of your business. So-and-so's husband is none of your business. You got enough to handle with your house. Amen. I got enough to handle with my relationship with my wife. than to worry about how you're handling your relationship with your wife.
Yes,
and that this ain't even the direction I'm going tonight. It's just in here and it's coming out. Amen?
Amen.
But we ought to work on that.
Yes.
And the next time we catch ourselves, that's the flesh and that's natural. But we ought to be living so not so much in the flesh now as we are in the spirit, and we ought to be moving from natural to supernatural. Naturally, you can't go without judging somebody, but supernaturally, through the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, you can stop that. Amen. We all right tonight? I believe that with all my heart. I believe you can. And the next time you catch yourself judging somebody a little bit, you ought to say, hey, self. Repent over that and get right.
Amen.
Amen. I'll handle the pastoring. We'll keep the reins on it from here. You can't drive the church from the pew. Y'all all right? Something needs dealt with, we'll deal with it. And I don't need you bird-dogging out every problem. Amen. I preached a message one time on some dogs in the church. If you was a dog in this church, what kind of dog would you be? One of them, I'll get to the scripture in a minute, and I feel like preaching. One of them was a pointer. Always pointing out somebody's sin, somebody's fault, somebody's failure. We don't need pointers around here.
Amen.
Amen. We don't need no pointers around here. I want some bulldogs and some sheepdogs. That's all we need.
Amen.
Mark or Luke chapter number 7. Let's be careful that we're not Simon or this Pharisee in the story. Let's be careful that we're not this guy. And I'm not going to focus on him tonight. That's all I'm going to say about it. I want to look at this little lady. And I want us to have what she had. Verse number 36 of Luke chapter number 7. The Bible said, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a what, Brother Fisher said?
Amen.
A sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. And I love that part of this story. I'm not going to rehash Brother Fisher's message, but he didn't say anything out loud. He thought it. The Lord is a discerner of the thoughts. Amen. He knows what you're thinking. It ain't always just what you say. God knows your thoughts. That scared the bejesus out of you right there. Amen. God knows your every thought. He said within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He probably regrets that later on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Let me stop right there. I'll pick up at verse 46. And I just want to reiterate something else Brother Fisher said. There is nothing sensual about this scripture. Nothing sexual about this scripture. Now you need to understand that. And those guys that preach that it is, they're perverts. I'm just here to tell you, these guys talking about this intercourse with God,
yeah, come on, preacher.
Y'all okay? I know that's a little plain, but I'm just going to lay it out there. Hey, one of the most famous ones in America that preached and taught that kind of junk, he's sitting in prison tonight for, what do you call that, statutory rape.
Yes, sir.
And he taught that kind of stuff.
Right.
Y'all all right? There's nothing sensual about this. If had been, Jesus would have rebuked her.
Amen.
There was nothing unholy or unclean. He would have stopped it right there in its tracks. Amen?
Yes,
amen? Amen. That would have made not only her a sinner, but him a sinner.
That's right,
amen. I just ought to throw that in.
Good.
You watch them guys that wants to turn everything in the book sexual.
Right.
And relate your relationship to God as sexual.
On,
something's wrong.
Amen.
That guy's got a problem.
Yes,
I wouldn't let him around my wife.
Amen.
I wouldn't let him around my daughter.
Yes.
Y'all okay? Verse 46. He said, My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. There is an attitude in the heart of this lady that I want to be the heart of our church. There is an attitude in this lady that I want every individual here to pick on. If we could get up next to somebody and catch something like a cold, I'd like for our church to get up next to this little woman and catch the spirit that she had.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Listen, a couple of things before I get to the message. Number one, she didn't care. She didn't care who was in the house. It was all that mattered to her was that he was in the house. We said again, she did not care what the Pharisees thought. She, best I can figure, he sat at meat. She crawled up under the table and began weeping on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And then she broke the box and put the ointment on his feet. And this is what I hadn't been able to get past all week long. When she broke that box, I don't know if she's actually under a table or not, but that's the way I see it in my head. You may not even could see what was going on at the feet of Jesus. But when she broke that box, that odor began to fill that room, and everybody knew that something was going on. That's the way it ought to be down at Happy Valley on Sunday morning. That's the way it ought to be down at the Valley on Sunday night. That's the way it ought to be Wednesday night. Hey, even when the preacher's out of town and Brother Terry's preaching, hey, somebody ought to crawl up in here and just break a box. Amen. Those ointments was like the same thing they anointed the body of dead loved ones. You remember Mary and Martha early in the morning, that first Easter morning, they were headed to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord. That was a custom to keep that body from smelling. These were strong smelling ointments or perfumes. And when she broke that box, everybody in the house said, what's that smell? I believe there's a smell to worship. Let me say it again. I believe there's a smell to worship. And I believe we may not be able to physically smell it, but I believe we can spiritually smell it.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been in a church where there's a bunch of phonies? Talk to me. Have you been in church where, I mean, people just, they're just the put-ons, all they are. There's one church I'm thinking about, and I wouldn't name it because I love them, but they got some weirdos there. And every time they have a song service or the same guy, he gets up and runs around the building and hoops and hollers like a wild Indian. And God ain't in it. I'd rather have somebody shouting with God not in it than sleeping with God not in it. So I ain't going to knock him too bad. But you can just tell he's putting on a show. Y'all all right? Now this morning, Brother Tommy got to shout and run around the building. Wasn't no show about it. It was go or blow up, one of the two. I could see him sitting there in the pew. I just knew. I said, here he goes, here he goes. It's like that jack, what do you call that thing, the jack in the box, you know? That thing can only wind so tight and something's coming out of there, amen? Yeah. That's the way Brother Tommy was this morning. I could just see the little handle cranking. I like that. It's real, man. And I believe there is an odor to it. And when that odor comes out, I believe not only is God pleased, but God's people are touched. Amen. Amen. I believe when we worship like we ought to worship, and that's what this lady's doing. She's not running around the building. She's not shouting. But she's literally just weeping on the feet of her Savior and doing the most humble thing she can for Him. And the odor fills the room. I don't think she broke the box, Brother Charles, so everybody could get a blessing. I believe she is there for one reason and one reason alone. She is there to be a blessing to her Savior and a blessing to her Lord. And because she was, it affected everybody that was in the house. Oh, somebody help me tonight. Why don't you just thank Him and praise Him? Hey, and when you do, it'll affect everybody around us. And it'll affect our children. And you know what they'll do? They'll grow up and worship. Amen. You'll study worship out in your Bible. It is rarely, almost never silent. Worship always has a noise. I'm tired of us being worried about being labeled a charismatic. I like what Brother Tony said here one time. He said, we're not charismatic, but we are automatic. You get talking about Him, singing about Him, there's just automatically something inside me that's got to come out. Amen. We ought to be automatic. Did you know Baptists were shouting before there was ever a charismatic made? Before they ever even invented the charismatic movement, there was Baptists shouting. Before there was ever a Pentecostal, Baptists were shouting. Well, what if they call us? I don't care what they call us. Worship's got an odor. Worship's got an odor. I preached a message one time on New Testament temple incense. Y'all remember that? And when we pray and we praise, some people worship just by weeping. Some people just sit there and weep. I believe that's as strong as a shout and a lap around the building. When God squeezes that heart till the juice comes out. Amen. I'm a crier. Tim Noble, you sit over here, and Tim's been my friend all our lives. We grew up together, and them bus kids would come in, Tim would go, here you go, here you go. He always knew, brother, the waterworks was coming when the bus kids come in to see Brother Eddie. Hey, I'm a crier. I worship that way. I get happy, man. I remember one time I have a lot of sinus trouble, and I'm having it now. And I remember I was at the doctor one time, and I'd been to see the same doctor over and over. And he said, let me ask you a question. He said, is your marriage okay? I said, man, I've got a stopped up nose. He said, no, seriously, is everything all right? Have you had a death in the family or anything? Very emotional. I said, no. He said, have you been crying much? I said, uh-huh. Every time I go to church, I cry like a baby. He said, that's what's killing you. That's what's killing you. He said, you ought to pray about stopping that. I was driving home from the doctor, and I got to squalling and tears running down my face, and I said, oh God, I'll take the stopped up nose, but don't take my tears, don't take my worship, God, don't take the glory away, God, I don't want to lose that, I'd rather not smell nothing for the rest of my life, I'll take the sinus headache any day of the week, good God Almighty, over a dried up dead spirit, hallelujah, God, I want the odor to go up. When God's people worship, I believe God's sitting in heaven going, y'all smell that? Come here, Paul. Lean over. Smell that. It's pleasing to God. It had an odor to it, and it affected everybody in the room. Hey, everybody that walked out that door and shook my hand this morning said, boy, that was sweet. Even people who didn't testify. but they felt the effects of those who did. Worship has an odor. Worship has an action. There is no way to worship doing nothing. You ought to study the word worship out in your Bible. Brother Charles taught it in Sunday school. You ought to study worship out in your Bible. Sometimes worship is sacrifice. Abraham, I'll get to the message in a minute. Abraham said to the servant, said, abide ye here with the ass while I and the lad go yonder and worship and come again to you. He was going to sacrifice his son on an altar, and you know what he called it? Worship. In other words, anything you do that God asks you to do, and it is an act of obedience toward Him, He sees that in worship to Him. Amen. I'm worshiping Him right now. Amen. I know this is what is pleasing to God for my life. I'm going to get on a plane and go worship Him tomorrow. Amen. Are y'all listening? Every time I'm obedient, hey, and when you're, what would be the opposite of worship? I think it'd be disobedience. Amen. I believe it'd just be flat out disobedience. Yeah. Worship has an action. It's doing something. Amen. It's doing something. You watch pride in people in church. I see everything from up here. One of these nights I'm going to have Brother Dwayne back there and I'm going to have him cued. I'm going to give him a certain look and he's going to cut out all the lights. And we're going to see how many cell phones are lit up in here. I just had that thought the other day. I thought, that'd be cool. See how many phones are lit up. This place, you wouldn't even know the lights were off. Yeah. Lighting, that's an app. Lighting by iPhone. Amen. Yeah. But I'll watch and see the pride on people's faces. Yeah. There's people in this church and there's in this room right now. You won't even raise your hand when we sing, I Know My Name Is There. Yeah. Yeah. We okay? Yeah. You won't even raise your hand when we sing, I Know My Name Is There. One of two things. You don't know your name is there. Or you're so full of pride. You're so full of pride that you can't even worship God. Worship can be humiliating. Worship can be humiliating. Can you see this woman in a room full of dignified Christians? Or dignified religious leaders? That's who they are. I mean, these guys are high and tight, friend. I mean, they're pompous. They're First Baptist, amen. I'm serious. These guys are up there. And here comes in this little old woman, and don't none of them like her to begin with? She's been the talk of the town, and here she comes and starts bawling and squalling on the feet of Jesus, and then starts rubbing His feet with her hair. Wouldn't y'all freak out if somebody come up here and started doing that? That's humiliating. Brother Rusty testified this morning. He said, I never have shouted out really in church, but he is letting her rip there a minute ago. Amen. Amen. Something has to sacrifice when you worship, brother. Something has to die. Yes, sir. Bible said, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise. Somebody ought to get rid of some pride and make a noise every now and then. Amen. I think I'm a soul fashion, but I think church ought to be loud. Brother Nathan, when we had Brother Jay's funeral, and your daddy got to shouting while we was doing that song, I'm Bound for That City, it got on a little bit. And then we got to preaching. One of your cousins after the service said to his daddy, and they go to church. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like that. He said, I can't believe, why was that preacher so loud? He said, you ought to have heard your Uncle Jay. Yeah. Amen. I think church ought to be loud. Amen. Hey, I can sit on my back porch. I live 4 miles yonder way. I can sit on my back porch on Friday night when Villa Rica High School's playing up here, and I can hear the band. I can hear the boom, 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 boom. You can hear that marching band. I can't believe it. I can hear it. You know what that is? It's a noise, buddy. They're excited about something. You can hear that crowd cheer, man. Hey, there's a noise about it. Why? Their team is doing a good job. Hey, have I told you lately that our team is doing a good job? God the Father's doing well. God the Son is doing well. And the Holy Ghost is just fine tonight. Hey, we ought to... Bless God, if I had a drum, I'd beat it tonight. Amen. Hey, I said there is an action to worship. There is an odor to worship. And there is a sound to worship. There is a sound to worship. Let's watch. Watch me now. Watch. Careful. Not worship. Let's do that again. Not worship. Not worship. You ever wonder if the Lord looks down at us and says, after all I've done? After all I've done for you, I have forgiven all, A, double, L, all your sins. I'm preparing a place for you right now. I'm building your mansion in glory. And you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. And in the meantime, I'm hearing and answering your prayers. And all I get is... If I was God, I'd be mad, wouldn't you, Brother Charles? I mean, that'd just fire me right up. I'd say stop construction on that one right now. Take the air conditioning out. Give him a black and white TV and an AM radio. Hallelujah. Don't put no door on his garage. Amen. Stop it right now. He's going to live in the project. Amen. God help us. God help us. After all God's done. Visitors ought to come in here every Sunday. We have them. Every Sunday we have people who've never been here before. And their first impression of this place ought to be, wow. These people either own something or they got the goods. And I'd like to think we got the goods. I'd like to think we got the right stuff. But I believe there is a path to get where this lady was. I don't think worship just happens. Worship is a result of something happening to you. She's weeping, she's wiping, and she's anointing because of something that has been done. I want you to notice a couple of things tonight and we'll go to the house. Number one, there must be an acknowledgement. There must be an acknowledgement. Look at verse number 44. Jesus is talking to Simon. He said, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. They gavest me no water for my feet, but she have washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. What do you mean an acknowledgement? She's acknowledging who he is. She's making, hey, if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to acknowledge who he is. I don't care if your name's on the church roll and you've been baptized or you shriveled up like a prune. Hey, you're going to have to get to the point where you acknowledge who God is. And I don't mean, hey, you can be saved and not give God the right acknowledgement. When you're making decisions for your life and you're not inquiring of God about it, hey, you're not acknowledging God. When you bow your head at Mickey D's and you fail to thank him for your Big Mac or your quarter pounder, hey, you ain't acknowledging God. You're saying, I provided this for me. Amen. She acknowledged God, buddy. Hey, you remember what Simon said? If this man was even a prophet, if he was even a prophet, he'd know who and what manner of woman this is. He did. He knew exactly who she was, and he knew exactly what she was. And he knows exactly what I am, And he knows exactly what you are, but yet he allows us to crawl in this place week after week and lift unholy hand and unworthy hand and raise unworthy voices and say, thank you, oh God, for what you've done in my life. Hey, we better acknowledge who God is. Amen. Who is he? He's the boss. He's in charge. Our life depends on him. Amen. We need to acknowledge him. If you're acknowledging God like you ought to be acknowledging God, you ain't going to notice it. If Simon had the same attitude this woman did, and he was acknowledging Jesus for who he really is, he would not even have known the woman was in the room. Unless he was down there saying, move over, give me one foot, you take a foot. You take the right foot, I'll take the left foot, and we'll just squall and wipe together. My hair ain't as long as yours. Let me borrow your ponytail, hon. Amen. But he wasn't acknowledging who. He wasn't acknowledging who Jesus is. He wasn't even considering him to be of prophet status. This little lady knew who he was. Some way, somehow, somebody told her that I am the Son of God sitting over there eating fried chicken. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, that ain't just anybody dipping, sopping his biscuit in the gravy. That's the Lamb of God right there. She acknowledged who he was and what he was. Ain't that something? We come in this place, we ought to acknowledge who God is. Did I hear you? Did I hear you? I said, we ought to acknowledge who God is. Amen? Listen, famous people, when they go places, they like try not to be noticed. I sat in an airport one day in Dallas, Fort Worth, for 30 minutes wrestling with this fella over the armrest. I'm on the cell phone, he's on the cell phone. He's a black guy, he's got on a big hat and big old dark aviator glasses. Some another fella stopped in front of us and went, Tony Dorsett. I said, you can have an armrest. Amen. They try to go being unnoticed. Jesus don't want to go unnoticed.
That's right.
He wants to be acknowledged who he is. Amen. Hey, he wants the church to acknowledge who he is. Hey, that night in Mark chapter number 4, John 21, wherever it was, John 21, I believe, where they fished and they fished all night and they taken nothing, and the stranger standing on the shore and he asked that famous question, children, have you any meat? Oh, John looked out there and he said, Peter, it's the Lord, it's the Lord, it's the Lord, it's him, he's risen from the dead. That's him. Hey, when we come to church on Sunday, we ought to be saying, it's him, it's him. Hey, when youngins get saved out there in the junior church, we ought to be shouting, it's him, it's him. When lives are touched and marriages are salvaged, we ought to be shouting, it's him, it's him, it's him. Acknowledge him for who he is. Not only who he is, what he is. He is the answer to our prayers. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who he is. He is Creator God. He is water-walking Jesus. He is life-changing. He is dead-raising. I'm talking, he is deaf-ear-healing. He is demon-caster-outer. I'm telling you, that's who he is. Who is this that forgiveth sin? Do you know what, in our vernacular, what that means? Who does he think he is? That was the attitude from the religious crowd. Who does he think he is? That little lady's down there on her feet, and she's rubbing his feet with her hair, and she's going, it's the Lord, that's who he is. It's the Lord, it's my Savior, it's the Messiah, that's who he is. Hallelujah. She not only knew who he was, but she knew what he was. The acknowledgement. Not only did I think she acknowledged him, but she acknowledged some things about her past.
Amen, preacher.
She knew who and what he was. But she also come to grips with who and what she was.
Amen.
She's weeping.
That's right.
She's repentant.
Right. Yeah.
She's humbled. What has her humbled? What has her humbled? Brother Rusty said it. Her own sin. That night as I stood in Brother Jay's yard and asked the Lord to save me, I didn't stand up on my feet like this. And so, Lord, here I am. You finally going to get to save a good one tonight.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
No, sir, I was laying face down in the pine straw, begging God, weeping just like that little one. Why? Because my sin drove me to the Savior. I realized for the first time in my life what I was. She was acknowledging who he was. She saw was also acknowledging who she was. That guy said, Simon said, if he was even a prophet, he'd know this woman's a sinner. He did know, and so did she. She was full aware of the fact that she wasn't worthy to be under that table where she was. Well aware, before we're ever going to worship, an acknowledgement of him and an acknowledgement of ourselves must be made. Amen. Let me tell you something. You get clean, you'll shout.
Amen.
You get your sins forgiven, you'll get happy.
Yes, sir.
I sat in White Oak Springs all my life. Made fun of them gray-haired women for shouting. Yes. Made fun of them preachers for jumping up and running around and shouting. I thought there was a bunch of kooks, there was a bunch of nuts.
Yes, sir.
Yet I'd go to town, me and Stacy, with a Budweiser on Friday night, ride around in that old green doodle bug with the windows down and holler, yee-haw! Like a bunch of fools. I'd make fun of them crowds shouting in church. Something happened under that pine tree. About 3 a.m. I'm telling you, something happened up under that pine tree. What I said I'd never do, I did do. All that sin, all that guilt was gone. I knew I was saved and on my way to heaven. And I said, woo! It just come out. It wasn't in the plan. Brother Jay didn't lead me in that part. He just told him, help me pray.
Yeah.
Boy, when I felt that guilt leave, buddy. Woo! I had to acknowledge who I was. You want God to bless you. Talk to me. I'm going to preach too long tonight. I'm just going to tell you flat-footed. Do you want God to bless you? I remember a young man in the Bible by the name of Jacob. Jacob was a cheater, he was a con artist, and he was a liar. They say his name meant supplanter. What's that mean? Cheater, con artist, liar. He stole his brother's birthright, conned him out of it. He stole his brother's dying blessing, Esau. His daddy was blind and dying. Esau was a hairy man, so he killed a goat and put the skins on his arms, and he went in and he said, hey, Dad, I've come for the blessing. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Esau. He said, well, you sound like Jacob. He said, well, here, just touch me. He said, oh, you feel like Esau. He said, let me have the blessing. And I don't know how they did it, but somehow he passed that blessing on to Jacob. Esau hears about it. He's a man's man. He's deer hunting where a man ought to be. Jacob's under mama's skirt tail. Mama said you better run. Because your brother's hot. And he's going to beat you till the smoke alarm goes off. You better get out of town. I'll send word when everything calms down. So Jacob skedaddles, right? Well, on his journey, he gets in a fight with somebody. He finds himself wrestling with God. He has a hold of God, and God said, let me go. Remember what Jacob said? Not until you bless me. But this time, Jacob is not dealing with his blind, dying daddy. He's dealing with the God of heaven. He said, let me go. He said, not till you bless me. Same question his daddy had asked previously. God stops in the middle of the fight and said, by the way, what's your name? Who are you? And he said, my name's Jacob. I'm a cheater. I'm a con. And I'm a liar. That's who I am. God said, now we're getting somewhere.
Amen.
He said, I tell you what, we're not going to call you Jacob anymore. He said, we're going to call you Israel. A prince. I'm going to change your name forever. Because you have acknowledged who I am. And you've acknowledged who you really are. That night I got saved. I fell down under that tree and I said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I acknowledged him. I'm a sinner. I acknowledged what I am. And God in return said, not no more. We're going to call you no more sinner, but saint. Change my name forever. Worship always follows repentance. Amen. You want these services to get really good? Let's get prayed up before we come in here.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get serious about ourselves. And if you'll quit judging everybody else, you won't have nobody else to look at but you.
Amen.
Start looking yourself inside and out. Amen. There was an acknowledgement made, who he was, what he was, who she was, and what she was. Amen. This woman looked back at her past life. I believe she looked back at her failures. And then I believe she looked at the forgiveness she has received. Listen, Jesus didn't have to tell her she was forgiven. She knew it already. You feel forgiveness. We don't base our salvation on feeling, but thank God you can feel it. When all that sin left, Brother Jay didn't have to tell me, okay, son, you're going to heaven when you die. I knew it, son. He did not tell me I was saved. I knew I was saved. There was an acknowledgement. Look back up at verse 45. There was acknowledgement. He said, thou gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Not only was there an acknowledgement made, but there was some affection given. There was an acknowledgement made, but there was affection given. A custom of that day was to greet with a kiss. A custom of that day. I'm not up on that custom. Brother Larry Day is a kisser. Vanessa's daddy. If he come in here tonight, he'd come down here and he'd kiss me on my cheek. Brother Bud Wicks was a kisser. Amen. He'd kiss you. Brother Shay Talon is a kisser. Every time I see him coming, I'm growing up. There's just something about being kissed by a man, even if it's in the right spirit. I don't feel spiritual to me. See them big lips look like they hit big around coming at you. Bum, 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 bum. My wife wants to go to France. I said, not me. You go to Hawaii, they put the lay over your neck. You go over there, them weirdos are going to kiss you. Amen.
Yes,
twice. But that was a custom of their day. He said, look, when I come in your house, you showed me no affection. You showed me no affection. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. I couldn't even get the peck on the cheek out of you. But ever since I sat down here, she has been kissing my feet. The Lord loves affection. Brother Tommy talked about them six-winged creatures this morning when he was testifying that fly around the throne. With two they cover their face, and with two they cover their feet, and with twain they did fly. And they fly around the throne of God night and day, and they cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Why is it? You ever wondered why it's holy, holy, holy? Holy God the Father, holy God the Son, holy God the Spirit. And they fly around that throne and they cry, holy, holy. He loves affection so much.
Yes.
Did you know that's why he made you?
Yes.
Did you know that's why he created man?
Yes.
because he loves affection.
Right.
I had a man in my office one day with marital problems. He said, I hate it. He said, I'm just not affectionate. Your God is. God's very affectionate.
Amen.
You ever had him love on you?
Yeah.
You listen to me. You may not like his term, but he likes to snuggle.
Amen.
I love it when my grandbabies are in that mood.
Yes, sir.
Wednesday morning, I went over early. Hayden had to go to the dentist, and Angie went and helped with him, and Todd wasn't home from work, so I went and stayed with the babies till he got home. And I kept listening for Caroline to wake up. Finally, I thought I heard something. I went in there, Brother Freddie, and she's standing there holding the rail of that baby bed. I walked in the door, she saw me, and she just cackled. And I picked her up, and she just nuzzled her little head. Oh, Papa ate that up. Oh, I'm here to tell you, Papa ate that up. I sat down on that couch, and she just cuddled up against me, and I thought, oh, God, don't let Jonah get up. Let Todd work a little late this morning. I'm enjoying this, amen. I believe the Lord, when we snuggle up next to him, I believe he says, hey, I'll take a little more of that. I'm enjoying the affection I'm receiving from my child. Amen. And again, it's not affection like a lover. It's affection like a father and a son. Amen. Levi's a grown man. Got a family of his own, baby on the way. But that's my boy. He come down here during that service Friday night, and he hugged me and loved on me. And I'm just going to tell you something, friend. That felt good. That felt mighty, mighty good. And you know what happened when he started loving on me? I started loving on him. I said, he started loving on me, so I started loving on him. Now listen, with me and Levi, we may just be giving the same that we're getting, but with God. Woo! Hey, he loves on a whole nother level. Hey, when we love on him as best we can, he in turn loves on us as best he can. Oh, and when the love of God wraps around you, friend, it's shouting time in the prayer closet. I'm telling you, brother, hey, I long to feel that. Amen. There was an acknowledgement made. There was affection given. It was going both ways. It was going both ways. Listen, I love to watch Sister Alyssa sing. I told you, I sit on this platform and I see everything. But I watch her. She sings like this, with both of my eyes closed. Lots of times with them little hands raised. She ain't singing to us. Let me say it again. She isn't singing to us. She ain't worried whether or not she's on key or singing the right part. She's just singing to him. Do you sing to him? I'm not talking about singing about him. Do you sing to him? That's part of my prayer time. And I'm not a great singer, but he likes it for some reason. Amen. I've been up here early in the morning, back when Brother Freddie was our principal. Early in the morning, he'd be in there in his office, and I'd hear him singing. He can't sing a lick. But the one he is singing to was enjoying it.
Amen.
Amen. I like it. I'd walk by, and I'd just tiptoe. I don't want to interrupt that. I'd just slip on down the hall. There's some worship going on in there. Amen. When we open that book and we sing, congregational singing is the best singing in the world. It's my all-time favorite. And when we open them books, it ought not to be half-hearted. It ought to be wholehearted. And we ought to open our mouth so you can see that little thing wiggling in the back of your throat. And you ought to sing as unto the Lord. Why? He likes the affection. Amen. Me and my wife, over the years we've had several, but we have a song. Y'all, anybody? Y'all, you and your wife have a song? I was going to make a joke. I'm gonna leave that alone. But we have a song. And when that song is played, I got it on my phone. When that song is played, it makes me think of her love for me. It makes her think of my love for her. Well, amazing grace ought to make me think about God's love for me and my love for God.
Yes, sir.
There was a country song came out years ago when we got married, my best man and my best friend, Roger Bush, during my bachelor party made me a bet. And here was the bet. You won't make it 6 months. You won't make it six. That was my friend's encouragement on my wedding night. You won't make it 6 months. Not too very long after we married, some country singer, one of them lady singers, come out with a song, Looks Like We Made It. And on one of our anniversaries, she played that for me. Looks like we made it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what? It meant something to us.
Yes.
And when we come in here and we sing page number 57, it ought to mean something to us.
Yes.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Yes.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Y'all all right tonight?
Yes,
some of y'all sideways because I referenced a country song. Get over it.
Amen.
Self-righteous. Do you thank him for all he's done? I don't believe the lady was just weeping. I believe she's talking. And if she wasn't, the Lord knew what she is thinking too. She might have just been singing a little bit. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Don't you imagine? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you thank him? That's affection. That's affection. Are you loyal to him? That's affection. Will you speak up for him? That's affection. Are you there when he needs you? That's affection. She made an acknowledgement. She made an acknowledgement of who he was, who she was. She showed him affection by anointing or kissing his feet. In verse 46, and I'm done. She showed appreciation.
Amen.
She showed appreciation. He said, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. That was also a custom of that day, was for the host to anoint his guest hair with oil. Simon hadn't offered any oil, but this little lady took a flask of very expensive perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus. You know what she was doing? She was showing her appreciation for all he had done for her. She was showing her appreciation for all he had done for her. When Brother Tommy scared everybody to death this morning and shouted and run around the building, you know what he's doing? He's showing God his appreciation for that miracle grandbaby and for that miracle daughter who's not even supposed to be alive. He was showing, hey, he ought to be appreciative of that. How dare God do such great and mighty things in our lives and in our families, and this is all he gets?
You're right.
Look like a bunch of chickens pecking corn, man. Y'all remember those dogs that used to ride in the back window of the car? In bobblehead? That's what we got, bobblehead Baptist, amen. But she was showing her appreciation. She was thanking him. She was trying to reward him for what he had done for her.
Amen.
Amen? There ought to be an appreciation. We take so for granted what God's done for us. Some of y'all are a little bit too saved, I'm afraid. Isn't it funny how the new converts are the ones that always come into the altar? They ain't been saved very long, ain't got a whole lot of Bible in them, but they sit in church and they just cry.
Yeah.
And you sit there dried up as last year's bird nest. What's the difference? They hadn't got over it.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
They hadn't got over it. It's still real.
Amen, preacher.
They still realize they was a sinner on their way to hell. Yeah. And Jesus came by where they was and forgive them of all their sins. And then let them be a part of a good church and find people that love them and care for them and help them pray. And they just get excited about, hey, somebody ought to get appreciative again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're still here.
Right.
You're still blessed. You're still saved.
Yes, sir.
And it's by the grace of God. Amen. And we ought to show our appreciation. We ought to show our appreciation. Listen. This thing concluded with the Lord said, she's been forgiven much. And the Lord said in that last verse, I like this statement. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. How much you want to bet this wasn't the last time she worshiped?
That's
right. Amen. How much you want to bet this wasn't the last time she worshiped?
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Have you been forgiven much? He said, to whom is forgiven much? Let's back up and find that verse right there. Let's see. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He's saying she loved me a whole lot because I forgave her for a whole lot.
Amen.
She's loving on me a whole lot because I forgave her of a whole lot.
Amen.
How many of you have been forgiven?
Amen.
A whole lot.
Amen.
A whole lot. I grew up in church. We were there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If I did anything bad, I had to do it at church. We had a custom. If you wanted to have a fight with somebody, you'd go hide in the Sunday school room and wait.
That's right.
And then one of your buddies would tell them, let's go to the water fountain. And as they walked by that water fountain, by that Sunday school room, your buddy would shove the one you wanted to whoop in the room with you. Church. Church. My buddies sat back there on the back row, Brother Colin, Greg's brother. They'd sell dope.
Come on, preacher.
In church.
That's right.
Old Tim would lead up and say, hey, you got a joint. Boy, it got quiet in here.
Be real, preacher.
Got real quiet in here.
Hey,
neither one of them guys would mind me telling that. They're both saved.
Amen.
What I'm saying is when we got saved, God forgave us much.
Yes, sir.
God forgave us much. Now, you might have got saved when you was little and you ain't never done nothing wrong. I doubt it. Even those of you that got saved in a young age, you've done some junk. Hey, it's been some junk. You've been forgiven much.
Yes, sir, preacher.
You know what he said? The one who's forgiven much, they'll love much.
Amen, preacher.
Let's not get past the fact of what he's done in us, to us, and for us. If there's a shouting church in this town, it ought to be this one. It ought to be this one. God's done so much for us. You're sitting in a miracle tonight.
Amen.
I won't rehash all that, but you're sitting in a miracle tonight. God had $500,000 worth of debt just wrote off for us.
Amen.
We stood right here on Wednesday night or Sunday night and burned that second mortgage. God did that. God did that. We still struggle. We've always struggled. I'm used to it. Church didn't have no money when I came. We had $20 in the bank. We never had no money. Wow, yeah, that's right. Brother Freddie said, ain't much change, has it? Ain't much change. I'm afraid if we got a bunch, it might affect us somehow. I'll take whatever God wants us to have. I'm not going to focus on what we ain't got. I'm going to focus on what we do have. Much. Much. Did I mention three little boys, girls, or five? I don't know what they were, boys. Was it boys and girls? Boys and girls. Five little young ones got saved out there this morning.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
You know what that good offering tonight will do? It'll help us do it again next week.
Amen, preacher.
You know what we need? We need another good offering like that next Sunday so we can do it the next week.
Yes, sir.
We need another good offering like that the next Sunday so we can do it the next
Amen,
week.
Amen, preacher.
We're just going to do it till Jesus comes.
That's right.
And that may not be a whole lot longer. He's given much. And He's forgiven much. If you just took the sins in this room that I know about, just from a couple of people, it would amaze you. That's a lot of sins. And then when I throw mine in with theirs, and then we throw ours in with yours, it's getting pretty nasty in here.
Yes, sir.
And you think about, there's a God in heaven who said, we were born with an Etch-A-Sketch. And we got it all messed up. And one night when we got honest about who we were, acknowledged who and what we were and who and what He is, He took that thing upside down. And let's do this again.
Yes, sir.
You know what that causes me to want to do? Get down there at them feet. Worship Him.
Yes.
Let's stand there.